Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me? You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me?
When pop diva Duffy plays for an hour in concert, some fans might beg for more. Others might beg for mercy. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, quantity and quality collide in a debate over the length of concerts. Plus, three musicians trace the roots of country music to Africa. Live in our studio, we'll hear from kora player Fode Musa Suso, banjo player Tony Trischka, and guitarist Joel Harrison. But we begin with a look at the amount of time that headlining acts spend on stage at concert. If you're Bruce Springsteen or the reunited jam band Phish, you measure your concerts in hours. But if you're a relative newcomer like Welsh soul singer Duffy, you measure your concerts in minutes. One recent set was 65 minutes. Other up-and-coming artists are playing similar sets or sets that are even less than an hour. So, should fans feel shortchanged or should new artists leave us wanting more? There's only one way to settle this.
Soundcheck Smackdown!
And we've got two live music gladiators joining us today. On the phone, John Bream. He's the pop music critic at the Minneapolis Star Tribune and author of the upcoming book Neil Diamond, The Illustrated Story of the Man and His Music. And John will take just as much music as a performer can dish out. And Jamie Lowe is a music journalist here in our studio, the author of the ODB biography, Digging for Dirt. She likes her concerts short and sweet. John, Jamie, thank you both for being with us.
Good afternoon.
So, John, let me ask you, can a concert, a one-hour concert, be considered short and sweet, or is it just shortchanged?
Well, the question is, how long is too short?
I think
it has to do with your expectations, John. How much recorded music does the artist have? What are you expecting from the concert? And frankly, what's the price of the ticket?
So if it's a $100 ticket and the artist is out there for an hour, you're going to feel like you haven't gotten your money's worth.
Exactly. Mm. Especially if they've got more than one album out.
Well, what about someone like Estelle, who recently did a show at the Minneapolis club First Avenue?
She played 58 minutes, including the encore. To me, that's too short, considering that she has, you know, people only know her one album, but she has two albums. She can do covers. I think you need to do at least 70, 75 minutes.
Okay, Jamie?
When she's charging, you know, more than $25 a ticket.
But what if it's an awesome 1 hour? What if every minute is, like, the best performance that you've seen, and she's put everything on the table, or the stage, and, and you know, the audience is just, like, frothing with anticipation and loving it, then you're, you know, $25 for an hour of amazing live performance seems totally
and
reasonable.
If it's not 25, if it's 50 bucks, I mean, if you're really enjoying it, does that matter?
I've experienced a couple of those where, you know, they were an amazing thing, but it was short. I saw Merle Haggard won 63 minutes last year. A few years ago, Al Green did 51 minutes, even though he was contracted for an hour. I thought it was a great 51 minutes. Did I feel shortchanged? No, but a lot of people there did.
Well, then I just sort of feel like you're not appreciating the artist for what they can give and what they're doing. I mean, if you're buying a book or if you're going to an art show or you're going to a play, it's not about the time. It's about the quality of what you're seeing, and you don't. You never know. It's a gamble. You don't know if it's going to be amazing. You don't know if it's going to be if the performance will be lackluster. And I think that that's part of live entertainment.
So for you,
but it's
Jamie,
about expectations.
Well, I guess
if you go to a music artist, you know their music. You have certain expectations from them.
It's true, but you can always have an off day if you're like a human performer and you don't want to be there and not do a really great set, and you might not want to go for an hour and a half.
So, if you're having an off day, then give me a refund. You know, I'm paying good money. I expect you to give me the same kind of quality performance you gave in Pittsburgh for the same amount of money, or New York, or wherever. If you're not up to full strength, cancel the show or postpone it.
So let me ask you, Jamie. John mentions Estelle's concert just under an hour, including the encore. Do you want to hear more of a singer at the start of her career like Estelle? You know, should she have padded the set with covers and stuff like that?
If she's done, she's done. She's not going to give you a great song if she can't perform anymore after the hour that she's already performed. And I sort of feel like it's always going to be a gamble, and you can demand your money back, but you know what your expectation about going to live shows should be that you don't know exactly what you're going to get, and that's the beauty of it, because it can be this amazing moment that's like spontaneous and improvised and great, and you don't know what's going to be happening.
And sometimes that moment can take a couple of hours to unfold, and sometimes, as in the case of this singer, Estelle, it's over in less than an hour.
Someday, take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. This 5'7" guy who's just my type. Like the way he's speaking, his confidence is peaking. Don't like his baggy jeans, but I'ma like what's underneath him. And no, I ain't been to MIA. I heard the Cali never rains, and New York's wide awake. First, let's see the West End. I'll show you to my brethren. I'm liking this American boy, American boy.
That's Estelle. American Boy is her big hit. She did a 58-minute set at a nightclub in Minneapolis, and John Bream, pop music critic at the Minneapolis Star Tribune, thinks that maybe that was shortchanging the audience a bit, and Jamie Lowe, author of the ODB biography Digging for Dirt, likes the idea of an artist being done when he or she is done. Jamie, what about this, you know, this trend towards the live album, you know, where
right,
a band
like,
will play like their classic record, Sonic Youth with Daydream
top
Nation.
Top to bottom.
Right.
And this, yeah.
In order.
That's I think GZA did that with Liquid Swords, and he toured with this concept of just sort of
this
replaying.
This is GZA from the Wu-Tang Clan.
GZA from the Wu-Tang, who I love, but in the show that I saw, he actually did the full album from start to finish, which was amazing and had the crowd completely engaged, and everyone was sort of like, you know, bated breath waiting for the next track. And then after that, he did a bunch of new tracks, and it was sort of this like thud where it wasn't that they weren't good tracks, it was just that people weren't as familiar with them. It sort of made the concert really long. It definitely extended, you know, the standing up time, and it was a little bit anticlimactic because you had this great concept, and then it was sort of padded into something that became kind of like long and a little bit trying.
John, isn't that
well? But that's a chance you take.
Yeah.
That it was his instincts made the wrong choices for the follow-up concert. It had nothing to do with the length. It had to do with his taste.
So if he had done the new stuff before doing the album from front to back, would that have changed anything?
Well, no, I think the concept of doing an old album up front is an excellent one. It's working effectively, whether it's in hip-hop or it's in rock. I mean, Aerosmith is doing it. Lots of other bands have done it, and they have a lot of other hits to fall back on. And when you deal with a band like Aerosmith or a really established band, Green Day, even the other night I saw them, they did a similar thing. They're not going to always do all their hits. They're going to give you that little concept like, I'm going to do this old album or I'm going to do this new album, and then I'm going to give you a sampling of hits. So you can't please all the people all the time if you've got a huge catalog.
All right, listeners, we want to hear from you. How long should a headlining act perform in concert? You can tell us about a time that you felt shortchanged at a concert or about a time when one of your favorite artists got a little long-winded. Mm-hmm. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment at the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Dave from Staten Island writes, 1 hour. Pop music is of the moment and should be quick. In and out. 2 hours is pretentious. He then goes on to write, a Springsteen concert is hell on earth.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Dave from Staten Island with some very strong opinions that he's not afraid to share.
Yeah, but what about 90 minutes or 75 minutes in between?
I would argue just, I wouldn't even pay attention to the minutes. And I would just say, you know, put on a great show. Give me a few costume changes. Like, give me all that you've got and all that you want to give. And your audience is going to love it. It could be 45 minutes. It could be 3 hours. But if you're really, really putting yourself out there, you know, it's a live performance.
So this was your problem with the GZA concert, was that he had the idea, he delivered on the idea, he did the great show, and then it just was...
I think he just lost the momentum. He lost the audience. He lost, like, you have to really, it's because it's live, I feel like there has to be a dialogue between the audience and the performer, and you have to be able to recognize, you know what, they're not paying attention anymore, and they're not in it.
Jamie, did he lose the audience because of his lack of skills, or was it the selection of the songs he chose? It wasn't the length that ruined the show. It was his skills and lack of pacing and momentum in song choice.
I honestly think he got a little bored. I think you're right. I think that he sort of, you know, he brought out some stuff that he wasn't that into. I thought, like, when he was performing Liquid Swords, he was definitely in it. I mean, I love GZA. I was really excited to see him, and I was really excited when I left the show, but I was more excited when sort of the set, I thought, when it should have ended.
The Liquid Swords record was released by the GZA back in 95 and included this Duel of the Iron Mike.
MCs is waiting for the editing. The liquid soluble that made up the chemistry, a gaseous element that burned down your ministry. Herbal vapors and biblical paper smoking exodus. Every square yard is plus. Up screw face, photo sessions, facial expression leaves impression. Try to keep it sharp. Yes, give praise and shout some. Here's the outcome. Cut across the semi-gloss rhymes you floss. It is outdated, just like neck loads of sterling. Suede fronts, bell bottoms, and tri-color sherlins. I ain't particular. I bang like vehicular homicides and July.
So the GZA did this whole album live in concert and then didn't leave well enough alone, according to our guest Jamie Lowe, and went on and did a whole another bunch of songs, and the whole thing got just a little long and saggy. But John Bream, pop music critic at the Minneapolis Star Tribune, likes the idea of adding on to concerts and giving the folks what you've got, and we are talking today about the length of concert sets. When is too much? Not enough. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-WNYC and your comments on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Whatever happened to leave them wanting more? Too many concerts today seem to say, here's what I got, let me throw it on the wall and see what sticks.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And Dart in New York leaves this comment, 2 hours tops, and that is only if you are Paul McCartney and have infinite hits. John, you and Jamie are both talking about expectations. I mean, you know, if you go to a concert, whether it's Paul McCartney or some local band that's just getting started, you know, the one has, you know, 45 years of history and back catalog. The other is just getting started.
And a $250 ticket.
Right, right. But how much, that's the second time you've mentioned ticket price. I mean, how much does that really enter into the equation when you're in the hall, when you're in the club, and hopefully in the moment, and the music is happening live in front of you? Are you really kind of calculating, you know, cost per minute?
I mean, I don't know that the average fan is doing that. As a critic, I try to provide perspective and making sure that people are aware of these things and making sure that they're getting good value and not getting ripped off by these artists. But I do think, you know, if you're spending $5, $10, whatever it is, to see a local band, you know, you'll be easier to please. Again, it has to do with your expectations.
Well, and what about, you know, the band that, you know, you've paid your money and you've gotten your money's worth, and then they just continue, you know, it's like it's now in hour three, and what had been a very enjoyable evening is now beginning to sag under its own weight.
Well, you know, I always used to say the Grateful Dead were only as good as what you were on, but it's like, you know, it's like TV. If you don't like it, change your channel. If you don't like the show, get up and leave.
But I guess that's my point would be, how do you quantify value in live performance? I mean, I don't understand how. I mean, you can leave dissatisfied, and it could be just what you're going through that day and have nothing to do with the show and not have anything to do with what they're doing.
So, I mean...
I don't know what the price per minute would be on anything.
Yeah, and well, what well, about...
Well, it's up to the individual to determine the price per minute. I don't think you're sitting there calculating at the show. You might go home or the next day you're talking to your friend and say that was a ripoff.
Well, let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. Let's pull in Matt from Brooklyn. Matt, I understand you're a fan of long shows.
Oh, yeah. I prefer ska shows, and typically speaking, I'll pay like $25 a ticket, but these are big, long festival shows. And my attitude is play as long and as hard as you got, and I'm more than happy to buy merch, to buy CDs at the show, and I'll plunk down. As long as you're good, I will keep going. But
are these, you say these are festival shows, that means multiple groups, right?
Oh, yeah.
And ska shows? Then, so there's a lot of dancing going on, too, which I feel like also contributes to like how long you want the set to be. You want to keep going if you're skanking.
Well, it's all about pacing. You know, the performers have to pace themselves. The audience has to pace themselves, too.
What's the longest concert you've been to, Matt?
The longest was 3 years ago, Three Floors of Ska at Knitting Factory. That was in total about 6 hours. Doors opened 7:30. I left around 2:30.
That's awesome.
Did you spend like 2 months in the gym every day to work your way up to that?
No. In fact, first of all, I was fueled almost exclusively by $3 Red Stripe that they had at the club, and I could not move for this for a day and a half.
Did you say Red Stripe or Red Bull?
Red Stripe. But that is the best concert I've ever been to, and I think it was $25.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Well, you know, there's...
He must be a personal trainer or something.
I know. I mean, how much dancing can you do in one night?
Well, I mean, I think that we were talking about the also DJ sets. I mean, DJs are pretty much considered artists unto their own right, and they'll go for 7-8 hours and all night long, and you expect that.
Right, but that's not a concert where you're either standing, you know,
right,
or sitting in your seat.
You're engaged.
I mean, and you're walking out, you're getting a drink, you maybe leave, come back, get the hand stamp, the whole thing. All right, so there's much more to talk about. We'll take more calls, more comments, continue our conversation. Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, various other artists have recently been playing gigs that run for just over 75 minutes. Seems to be kind of a sweet spot for a lot of listeners. And we'll see when is too much, not enough, and when is short and sweet getting closer to being shortchanged as we continue our conversation on Soundcheck.
I want to roll with him, a heart that we will be. A little gambling is fun when you're with me. Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when
so we continue our conversation on concert lengths, take your calls, all of that up next. And then in a little while, American folk meets the West African griot sounds in a world music power trio. Fode Moussa Sousso, Tony Trishka, and Joel Harrison will play live for us on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When the Beatles played that first arena concert at Shea Stadium in 1965, how long was their set list? 34 minutes. Fast forward to last Friday when Paul McCartney returned, almost, to the site of that famous performance with a concert at the new Citi Field. The 64-year-old Sir Paul played for 2.5 hours, packing in more than 30 hits by the Fab Four and Wings. He also snuck in some less familiar songs by his alter ego, the Fireman. Paul McCartney plays the last of his Citi Field shows tonight, and we continue our Soundcheck Smackdown for this week on the length of concerts, and we want to know what you think the length of a concert should be. Is 34 minutes just too short? Is 2.5 hours too much of a good thing? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. And my guests include the author and music writer Jamie Lowe and Minneapolis Star Tribune pop music critic John Bream. A battle of the biographers, John having written the forthcoming biography of Neil Diamond, and Jamie, your biography of ODB, who was a very erratic performer. What was his set list usually
like?
Well,
I think maybe that's why I'm arguing my side, is that when you have low expectations and you're just hoping for someone to show up and be willing to play, like, that's a...
And John, Neil Diamond seems to be, you know, his motto seems to be, you paid good money, I'm going to lay it all on the line for you.
And he gives you 2 hours worth, and I've also written books on Led Zeppelin and Prince, and, you know, they're both known for giving, you know, great bang for the buck and being great concert performers as well, all three of them. I want to ask Jamie a question about hip-hop shows. So at least this is what happens in Minneapolis. You go, you see, like, three opening acts. They each play, like, 20-minute sets, and there's like 35 minutes between each of them. And then finally, about 1:30, when the club closes at 2 o'clock, Young Jeezy comes on, you know, and by then it's Old Jeezy, and there's only like time for 20 minutes left for his set. Are you tired and bored by then, or how do you feel?
I definitely have a short attention span for opening acts when they go on and on, and for waiting. I think everyone who's in an audience and they're just really wanting to see the person they bought the ticket for, like, they just want to get to that point. And yeah, that's a long night. And
well,
it's exhausting.
But then there are the festival, you know, that the caller Matt was talking about,
right?
Festival concerts, where you have a series of bands and you've bought for the event.
And
not
that's a
for
different
a
story. Cause that's on a Saturday. It right. usually starts at noon, maybe 2 o'clock, and you're expecting to be there for 8 hours. And I think when you're just going to see one show and you're going to go to work the next day, and they don't even start until one. That's hard.
That's there. Yeah. All right. Let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners are saying on the comments page. Joel Meyer, our producer, as he often does, moderating the comments. And how's it running in there in the control room, Joel?
Well, John, there's a lot of quantification going on the Soundcheck page. People weighing in with how long they think live shows should be. Dart from NYC says 2 hours tops, and that's only if you're Paul McCartney and have infinite hits. Mike from Westchester County says a 75-minute set for an established headliner is unacceptable, even for a $25 ticket, and how often do we pay that little anymore? A listener from Greenwich Village tells us about a time seeing the legendary Japanese singer Kenji Sawada, a.k.a. Julie, sing for 6 hours. That's
wow.
82 songs over a six-hour period. And finally, Mickey from New York has John Bream's back, our guest from the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. He says, shouldn't the artists give their best regardless of the city? I recall seeing Bowie on the Sirius Moonlight Tour at Madison Square Garden. 2.5 hours, fantastic show. A few months later, I saw him in Syracuse on and off in 75 minutes.
All right. There's a comment here as well from Tunky, who says, you've left out one option. Speaking of the Velvet Underground's audience, the great Andy Warhol once remarked, if they can take it for 10 minutes, then we play for 15. That's our policy. Always leave them wanting less. John, isn't that a risk that you run? Leave them wanting less when your concert exceeds 2 hours in length?
It depends who you are and how many hits you have and how... You know, it's like Jamie said, how much you put out. I mean, I saw Green Day the other night, 2 hours and 20-some minutes, and it was absolutely exhilarating and exhausting. You wanted no more, and I wanted no less either.
And they used to play Gilman Street in Berkeley before. They were huge, and they were, like, fast, short punk sets. And they
just
were
like the Ramones, yeah.
I mean,
but that's,
as incredible.
That's another thing, is when your songs are 2 minutes long, you know, like that Beatles set, 34 minutes,
yeah.
They probably got 17 songs
and
in there.
All of those people who were at that concert, that Beatles concert, are still talking about it today.
And lots of people who weren't there still talk about it like they were there.
All right, Marty joining us from Atlanta. Hi, Marty.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for your show. I really enjoy it.
Well, thanks for your call. Are you a fan of the short set or the long set?
A great set where I feel like I've gotten my money's worth. And we go to a concert outside venue here called Chastain, and it'll run the gamut. James Taylor played for 3 hours in the rain, and Katie Lang came out and sang for 45 minutes. I do have to say that the value for your dollar, the ticket, the Katie Lang was, you know, higher, and everyone at my table, there were six of us, and we all went, what, it's over? So we were a little disappointed, and I probably won't go to one of her concerts again. anytime soon. I think the artist has to, you know, be prepared. I'm a professional, and when I go in to do what I do, I'm very prepared, and they should know how to take us on this journey and when enough is enough. So mm-hmm. if you know your material and you know what you're trying to create that night, if you have an opening act before you, and then, you know, I think...
But also, Marty, if your audience is going to be sitting at tables, I mean, that's a mm-hmm. very different... If you were, like, standing room only in a club...
Well, I've been in standing room only with Bonnie Raitt, and she went on for over 2 hours, and she brought on the person that opened for her, I forget his last name, Broussard, and the place rocked, and it went on for 3 hours, and you couldn't get enough. But I agree, if you've had enough, leave.
All right.
You
that's...
know, you kind of, you know, take yourself home and have it be a great night. And but I do think that we as Americans, or maybe, you know, music aficionados or concert aficionados, we've had this expectation that's kind of grown since the Beatles. It's gone from 34 minutes to these hours and hours and hours. So somewhere, maybe the older generation, which I'm in my 50s, we're used to longer, you know, concerts. So anyway, maybe we have an expectation, and maybe there's a new way. But I feel like if I'm paying $100 for a ticket, I do want to see at least an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Well, it's everyone seems to be mentioning this idea of expectations, and, you know, it is, Jamie, I mean, a younger generation seems to expect things to be short and snappy, you know? It's like, boom, on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, one example of a concert that went on way too long also was the Animal Collective concert I went to, I think it was a couple years ago, where I actually think I, like, sat down and took a nap in the middle because they were doing this kind of...
So then why not leave? Why not just get up and walk out?
Well, I was kind of quasi-covering it, and I really shouldn't have done that. But
the nap was okay. Getting up and leaving would have been...
I just needed a rest, and it was the same note over and over again for like 20 minutes. I knew it was going to keep going like that. I couldn't see anything anyway because there were so many sort of flurries of weird dancing going on. And you know,
I mean, John, every once in a while I like a short show. There was one I saw last year. Adele came and played Minneapolis before her album came out. It was like a 35-minute show. I had no expectations because her record wasn't out. I'd heard the record, but we didn't know who she was. There was a buzz about her from England. And it was like, this is like speed dating. I want more. I want more. I want her to come back. I want another opportunity. And I got another opportunity in 35 minutes the first time, 60-some minutes the second time, you know, and
so
I want to go see her again.
Yeah, she left you wanting more. Good stuff.
But I had no expectations the first time.
Well, John Bream is pop music critic for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Jamie Lowe is a music writer who's author of Digging for Dirt, The Life and Death of ODB. And John Bream's upcoming book is Neil Diamond, The Illustrated Story of the Man and His Music, a bit of which you're hearing in the background. And John, Jamie, thank you both for being with us on this week's Soundcheck Smackdown.
Says you love me, yeah, just you done, mom. Got shoulder and man. Hey, she got the way to move and jelly. She got the way.
Still to come, West African music gets an American folk music spin live in our studio. Tomorrow on the show, we'll hear about The Girl's Guide to Rocking. It's a new book that gives you the essential first steps for young female rock musicians. Tomorrow on Soundcheck.
No one won't tell a soul where I'm going to.